A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Jim Harding joining us now. His media availability right here on The Zone.
Five guys, or where are you kind of at right now so far?
Yeah, the scrimmage this past Saturday showed us a lot. Certainly the evaluation just is not all-encompassing of just that scrimmage, but I feel confident with eight players that we can line up with on September 3rd. Certainly some of those guys have varying levels of experience, and so you're not exactly sure how they're going to respond in the environment we'll be in. However, in terms of their skill set, their ability level, and my comfort with them, I think we have eight guys, and I would say that those eight guys are the ones we're gonna roll with, and barring any injuries, those are who we're using. So,
next question, we'll go to Brian Brown from Utah.
Coach, is this the most experienced group that you've had, not only in terms of starting experience previously, but also in terms of time together as a unit in your time at Utah?
I have to go back and look. The crazy thing is we actually have no seniors in the room. And so that certainly is different than any other time, but a lot of that has to do with COVID, the extra year, et cetera. But if you look at the amount of starts that we have, I would think that it's up there in terms of the most experience, but it is weird to say we have a ton of experience, but yet no seniors in the room. And I believe only three juniors and the rest are sophomores and freshmen.
Next question, we'll go to Josh Newman from the Salt Lake Tribune. Josh.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Within the eight, just how has Paul Miley come along, and just how comfortable are you with where he is right now?
Yeah, so Paul's done a really nice job for us, and in fact, I visited with him after the walkthrough this morning. The thing I think he brings more than anything, and I do think he's doing a nice job on the field, but his leadership, his toughness, those are things that aren't necessarily going to show up in any sort of graded work. He's the most vocal guy out there, and he's really embraced that role. And I think that's important in the center position, just because he is the one making the majority of the calls, and he's got a really high football IQ. And so, he's very almost to the point of having to reel him back a little bit, just because we don't have some guys with the experience that he may have, where he's two or three steps ahead of maybe some of the other guys in the room. You have to kind of reel him back in, but really pleased with what he's done this fall camp through 10 practices. And like I said, the biggest benefit I think is the leadership he provides, both vocal and just his work ethic. He's a really tough kid.
And just to follow that up real quick, how beneficial was it in hindsight, just that, he was able to start three games last year, playing the handful of it. How beneficial is that going into this season that he has that experience?
Yeah, as a coaching staff, it certainly gives you some comfort knowing that he played in some really important games for us down the stretch. And certainly, I think that move was caused by Keaton Bills had an appendectomy. And so, that wasn't something that we were planning, but Paul certainly did go in and perform well. And like you said, it is comforting to know that he's not going to be, blown away by the the moment, if you will. So he's done it, and we certainly expect him to continue to do it at a high level.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Next question. We'll go back to Josh Furlong.
Hey, Jim, what are you seeing from Jaron Kump, and what's his progress been like so far? Obviously trying to reacclimate and do all the things with that offensive line.
Yeah, so, you know, he's rusty, right? You know, he's had 10 practices in the last 10 months, and those 10 practices have been since we got back. Having been hurt at the end of September, certainly during spring ball, he did footwork stuff in the back and did all he could, and it's no fault of his own. But bottom line is he still has only practiced 10 days in, like I said, those 10 months. But the kid has an extremely high care factor, great work ethic. You know, he's certainly pushing to, you know, he's in that top eight, he's pushing for the top five. And, you know, I believe he will continue to, you know, make a lot of strides just because, you know, he is knocking that rust off. And so, he's doing everything we're asking him to. He stays after meetings on the field, et cetera. And so he's trying to, do everything he can to kind of get up to speed, so to speak.
Next question, we'll go to Brian Brown. Brian, I saw you have your hand up if you have a question. Might have lost Brian while he gets reconnected. You want to jump in there, Brian?
Sorry about that. This Farmington internet connection out here in the sticks. Coach, Falcon Kalmatua had a great spring, looked really strong in the spring game. And you mentioned, you know, along with Jaron Kump trying to make progress after not having a lot of practice. Where's your confidence level with Falcon, and what are you seeing from him that makes you confident in him moving forward, not just as a starter, but also part of that group of eight?
Yeah, he's certainly in that group of eight, and he's competing for those top five. And like I mentioned in the opening, I would have no problem putting him in there. He's one of those guys that, unfortunately, and it's not a fault of his own, he's never played in a game. And so you're really not only projecting how he's going to do, but also how will he respond in that environment in game one, you know, 95,000 people or whatever the capacity is. And so, but in terms of somebody that, again, tough kid, came in, you know, he's done everything we asked. I want to say he was 302 or 303 in the last weigh-in. And so when you compare what he was when he first got here, I mean, this kid has put on a lot of weight, a lot of good weight, and he's moving well. And so, he'd be in that top eight, and, you know, him and Jaron are trying to, you know, battle it out at right tackle. The one positive, and I failed to mention the one nice thing that we have had the luxury of doing this fall, is with the exception of a guy or two, they're playing one position. And so those two are playing right tackle almost exclusively. And so they're getting an opportunity to get a ton of reps, and it's a great competition between the two of them.
We have time for two more questions for Coach. Josh, I can see you have your hand up if you want to go ahead.
Jim, everything that you just said about Falcon, about, you know, the experience and doing everything that he's asked, does Johnny Maiea kind of fall in that same boat where he's been in the program now, but he hasn't had a ton of experience?
Yeah, so again, Johnny, and in fact, like, you know, after the scrimmage, this is the day we, you know, really sit down and say, okay, here's what we're thinking for week, I guess this would be week three. But, you know, Johnny is somebody that has had to battle a lot of injuries in his career here. You know, somebody that you know, has just had some bad luck. But since spring ball, what he's done through these 10 days in camp, and certainly all these guys got to continue to develop and improve and continue to gain trust. I mean, that, you know, we're not playing, you know, tomorrow, but it, I'm well aware of how we've started in the past and the importance of starting quickly. But Johnny is a guy that has done everything, again, similar to what you just said, that we've asked, and really has gained the trust of myself since spring ball. Came in, never snapped before, you know, with Paul Miley missing the spring, came in and did a really nice job. And so that has provided us some depth. He also could play guard for us, so he's got some position flexibility. But Right now, I just want him to become the best center, continue to battle it out with Paul. And, you know, it's just a little bit unique with the skill of having to snap. I don't like moving the center if I can help it. I like them building a little bit of chemistry with the quarterback. So, you're exactly right. He's done a really nice job this calendar year. Knock on wood, he stayed healthy, and he's got to continue to do what he's doing right now. But he's done really well.
There we go. Jim Harding, offensive line coach, University of Utah.
So good information there. And we've talked about this Utah offensive line being one of the, I would say, supporting groups, one of the solid groups of this upcoming season for the University of Utah. And Scotty, I go back to when you and I were getting ready for the 16-16. And I went up there and talked with Kyle and sat down with him. And one of the first things he said was, I'm feeling really good about this offensive line. And I don't think you would hear Kyle with the pomp and praise that you've heard from Kyle about this Utah team if he didn't feel really secure about that offensive line. Just did a film review on one of the offensive linemen that has not been named for the University of Utah in the 16-60, and I did his film review and happened to watch a game film of him versus Kayvon Thibodeau. And things went really well for the University of Utah against Kayvon Thibodeau. So yeah. I think that selection comes up sometime this week, maybe early next week. I can't remember.
Jaron Kump still coming back from injuries. He's had, I think he said, 10 practices in the last 10 months. And so his recovery and his health is certainly something that they're keeping a very close eye on as well.
And he needs to be healthy because he's probably the highest potential of the offensive line. But Keaton Bills, be solid. I just think that this offensive line loses Bam and loses Nick Ford, and as Coach mentioned, doesn't have a senior on it, but I think that it retains its kind of integrity across the front. I don't think it's going to fall apart. I like the group, and I'm, you know how I feel about Laumea.
Yeah.
So I think Laumea should have probably been a top 20, maybe 25 player. And I think Laumea was mentioned, what, in the 30s? 32, maybe? 34?
Yeah, let me see if I can find
if I remember, here. Right? To me, he's one of the better guards in the state. Probably
26.
Okay. It wasn't as high. That's not terrible for Laumea, but I think it goes Clark Barrington first guard, Laumea probably second guard in the state. But that Utah offensive line is great. It was good to hear from Jim Harding right there.
You're going to hear from Sharif Shah here in a moment, get his thoughts on what's coming up. Frankly, I could hear Sharif read a phone book, and that would be entertaining to me.
Yeah.
So anytime Sharif Shah addresses the media, we always want to make sure we bring it for you, because you're hard-pressed to find a better human being on the planet than Sharif Shah.
And it really feels like he's got a good group this year, too.
Here he is, Sharif Shah.
Coach, I'll lead off with the same question that I asked Coach Harding, and just over the last year, with what you guys accomplished last year and coming into this season, what do you feel you've learned, and how do you feel you've grown and evolved as a coach and as a human being in the program?
You know, you never know what you're able to withstand until it's right upon you. I mean, I never thought that I would be able to get some of my young kids to play through the level of pain that they went through. I didn't know if I could respond that way. But you are able to do so much more than you think you can. That's what I learned. And kids will respond in the exact same manner. You know, it's really more than anything I've ever seen. What you put your mind to, you can absolutely do. Because we had to set aside so much, time and time again throughout the season. We set aside, and what folks don't understand is while we had some success, it almost felt heavier, like you didn't want to mess it up, like you really wanted to do a really good job for, the folks that we lost. And you start pressing too hard. So it was really trying to rein back the emotion, sometimes control your emotion, but it was achievable. And even though it felt in the moment sometimes insurmountable,
it was absolutely achievable. So you can do hard things. You know, I tell my own children, you're tough as nails. I say it to my football players, you're tough as nails. Tough as nails mentally and physically. And so that's what I learned about myself, that despite what it may look like, it's okay. We can get through it. And not only get through it, we can really thrive and excel.
Next question, we'll go to Jeff Call from the Deseret News, followed up by Cole.
Hey, Coach. Could you tell me a little bit about Clark Phillips' development? What have you seen out of him, particularly last year, his growth and maybe development as a corner?
Clark continues to starts to master just the small things. That's what I love about him. I mean, Clark, when he first got here, we met so much, it was ridiculous. Because of the COVID year, we had so many more opportunities to visit on Zoom and talk. And he would be up here just as much as I'd be up here. I'm like, I'm at the facility, Coach, I'm coming. Whether it's in the afternoon, the evening, 2 a.m, it didn't matter. He was coming. So he had an insatiable appetite from the beginning. And he fell in love with film. And I told him, I said, if you really want to become the player that you really are aspiring to, fall in love with film. Fall in love with watching yourself in great corners, great receivers. Don't get tired of the jewels and the nuggets that are embedded in true film study. And man, that's what I'm most proud about with Clark. He's calling me now, telling me about our opponents, not just Florida, but the next few opponents. Coach, I was watching them. And that fires me up when you have a ball player like that. So really, his acumen has increased. His desire to become really a smart football player has increased so much. Clark continues to change his body. You know, when he first got here, he was such a rock. And he's still cut and chiseled, but he's trying to elongate those muscles. And I've seen it firsthand, the explosion that I've witnessed that he didn't have his first year here. He is able to move and get in and out of a break so much more quickly, much more fluid. Yeah, I love his desire to make plays where he's like, Coach, I'm going to take a chance. And it's becoming really a calculated chance where film study, his own confidence, is starting to produce really good results. And that's what I'm seeing in fall camp. Just his evolution of confidence, you know, film study, and his ability to start trusting his body and instincts.
Next up, we will go to Brian Brown. Mute zone. See your hand there, Brian.
Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
You've got a lot of depth in this group. Players returning with experience, both with, you know, Clark and JT, but also Fabian and Zamaya. How do you balance getting some of the younger guys developed with also keeping the rest of the group sharp? And you talked about Clark trying to elongate those muscles and everything like that. How does that juxtaposition go when you're preparing for an opponent like Florida?
Yeah, you have to be absolutely transparent. When you have a collection of really good ball players, some kids who are now returning to the room with experience, and kids that you're going to rely on heavily, like Clark or Travis. I mean, we don't win the championship last year without Fabian Marks, Zamaya Vaughn, Malone Mataele. You know, we don't win. And those players come back now with a renewed and new sense of confidence and accomplishment. So I remember in 2018 and 2019, I was able to rotate quite a few ball players. And I told them in the beginning of fall camp, listen, no one is going to play 70 plays this game. Nobody. I'm not going to run anybody into the ground, because if we can stay fresh and still be productive and everybody eats, we're going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal unit. So this is what I'm telling this group. I want them to make every single rep that they earn count. Don't count the reps. Just make the reps count. And they're starting to really understand that everybody can achieve their dreams. No one has to play 70 plays in order to get on the NFL's radar. Coach, I didn't play 69 and a half plays. They won't see me. I promise you, they'll find you and they'll see you if you're showing up in your 20 plays, your 25 plays. And if we're able to manage it in that fashion, we go through having healthier corners, more productive corners. And, you know, in the waning moments of a game, in that fourth quarter, we're not exhausted. We're fresher when teams are taking the ball deep on us. If we can just bring everybody along and they understand that we'll all be successful if we are earning the playing time and we're not worried about how many reps I'm getting, but every single rep that I do get, it's counting. So transparency, that's a great question.
Next question, we'll go to Josh Newman from The Trib.
Hey, Sharif, how are you?
Josh, I'm well, thank you.
Just to go back to Clark for a second, if you think back to March of 2020, you know, when he first showed up, did he come off as maybe a little more mature, a little more prepared, a little more ready than your average college freshman?
Yes. Yeah. Clark, he reminded me of Jalen. When I recruited Jalen, Jalen told me at his house in Fresno, he said, Coach, I'll be with you for 3 years. I'm going to earn my degree and I'm going to the league. So those were Jalen's words. Man, did he do exactly what he said he was going to do? And I told Jalen, if you really want to do that, it will require a Herculean effort from you. You have to give up certain things. You can't party like these other boys. You need to get more sleep. And he did it and followed it to just to the letter of the law. Clark, almost the exact same. Coach, here are my goals. I want to be an all-conference player. I want to be here with you for this many years. I want to get my degree and I want to go to the league. Clark has worked himself into a phenomenal position. At being somebody that the league is considering a potential top round prospect, and for good reason, you know, for good reason. But he did come more mature. Clark never came to Utah following anybody else's lead. He has always expressed his belief and faith in God. He's held himself out as a man that does not want to do certain things because it goes against his morals and his beliefs. That kind of that drew a lot of. Just, you know, the boys are going to be boys. And so they teased him like, oh, you're too cool to kick it with us, or you don't like us because we're not this type of way. He was mature enough as a freshman to say, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be around this group of individuals. I don't want to put myself in this position, you know, being at this type of party. He just understood that. And he, which is a credit to his mother and father, phenomenal people who I absolutely love and adore. But they raised their children to be God-fearing children, to be able to stand up on what they believe and not follow, but lead. And if I'm only leading myself to the right path, then that's all the numbers I need. And so Clark was comfortable in his own skin. And it proved to be so beneficial for him when he wasn't chasing the crowd, because now the crowd is starting to chase him. And his example of film study, extra work after practice, getting guys together on the weekend. Just yesterday, Sunday, I had five of the guys in the room. I was just there working by myself. And they pop up, Coach, what's up? What you doing? I'm like, look at you guys. Here to do what? Here to do what you're doing? Watching film. I loved it. And that wasn't always the case. But that's the culture that we try to kind of promulgate in the cornerback room. Work harder. Just work harder. And good things happen if you just work harder.
And just a quick follow-up to that.
Go ahead, Josh.
Sorry, Brian. Are you able to expound just a little bit? You know, you mentioned his parents and his upbringing. Are you able to expound just a little bit on, you know, from your vantage point, how much his parents have been a factor in his life?
Clark, for example, Clark does not go one day without talking to his mother every day. Whether it's in the evening, in the morning, mom is going, he will find time and make time to call his mom. She has called when we were in film study at, whether it's at 8 a.m, 9 p.m, 1 a.m. She was like, she will tell him, boy, leave Coach Shaw alone and go home. Stop messing with this man and let him go to his family. And Clark is like, mama, no, he said that we're okay. So the one thing that I love is Clark's consistency to always check in with mom. His dad is his best friend, mentor, and true confidant. His father is so good because Big Clark Sr. never wanted to be Clark's best friend. He just wanted to tell him, look, this is where you are. This is what you're lacking. What are you willing to do to kind of make up the difference? And Clark took it to heart, you know, and it always came from such a place of love. His father being a man of the cloth, having his own congregation. And so speaking to Clark in a word of wisdom, it always came from such a good faith-based place. that Clark received it, internalized it, and recognized it's not my daddy cutting me down, but trying to build me up. It was wonderful. His brother, the same. He has a brother at Tennessee State who I love, Bryce, just wonderful. And his baby sister who has an angelic voice. His family they're so tight, and he is who he is because of his brother, his baby sister, and his mother and his father that have continued to pour into him so much love.
Thank you, Sharif.
Absolutely.
We got time for one more. We'll go to Josh Furlong from KSL.
Hey, Sharif, obviously JT could have been a great asset for you guys last year, but with his injury that kind of, you know, hurt a little bit. But what are you seeing from his acclimation back to the system and being able to get in there? What are you seeing from him as you enter this season?
Man, that's an awesome question. JT, I absolutely love that boy. You know, it was so good to have him back this spring because he came in just rusty, you know, and you can play corner your whole life. And when you've been out for 4 to 5 months, you remember it. You remember certain things, but it's still that muscle memory, and having the rust knocked off is painful. So he came in heavier than he wanted to be. We didn't trust his shoulder as much. So some of the blocks almost appeared, are you scared to strike? And JT has never been that way. So when he got comfortable using his shoulder, when he started running and his weight began to get exactly where he wanted to be, you could see his confidence just soar. He is such a valuable asset to our room, not only because of the plays that he's made for the program, but the workmanlike attitude he brings every day. Just a pleasant kid to be around, fun in the room. So he gives us the depth that we need because JT is one of my more physical corners. You know, given his size at about 6 feet, right at around 193, legitimate 4'3 kid, but he shows up on the edge. JT had it. And I tell the boys in the room, he had one of the nicest blocks on run support. We had one of our pulling guards just, I mean, in the new rule, as you will know, the corners cannot cut the big alignment anymore. And some of our guys are like, well, what are we going to do? Well, let's play big boy football. You need to put your hat and hands right on this face mask. And JT came up, met the lineman right behind the line of scrimmage, 1 yard, smacked him, separated, threw him off, and made the play. I was like, I can look at that play 100 times. And that is the epitome of what JT brings. Just a silent assassin, never up, never down, just always even keeled. You can coach him as hard as you want to. He doesn't shy away from it, but he brings another level of maturity to the room we need when we go through the ups and downs of what a college football season will be.
Although I do enjoy hearing from Sharif Shaw for sure.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff right there. You know, Scotty and I weigh these things heavy if we're going to play these interviews, because we know that some of it can get a little monotonous and some of it gets into things that maybe you're not real interested in. But typically with Jim Harding, especially where this Utah offensive line is, we wanted to hear kind of the depth talk and where they're at. And then with Sharif Shaw talking about your Travis Broughton, who's been on our 60 and 60 list. And, you know, you can go right down the ranks with Fabian Marks and Malone Mateele, and then to Clark Phillips, who's not been announced yet in our 60 and 60. That corners group is really good, and it always is.
You certainly wish you had this kind of health up against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. I mean, I think if there's what could have been had Utah had a healthy defensive backfield.
Yeah.
Because those were, I mean, obviously you're dealing with one of the great quarterbacks in all of college football, and even the second string wide receivers at Ohio State were incredible. But Utah certainly was lacking in a depth situation there going into that game for sure.
The person I feel the worst for is Mekhi Bernard.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine going into a Rose Bowl, and I was a D tackle in college, and them coming to me and saying, trying to think, running back to corner flip would be like D tackle, maybe to tight end.
Not even offensive line.
No, probably D tackle to tight end.
Yeah.
Because it takes such a high level of skill. So, and also relearning a playbook. It was probably miserable for him. He did his best, but as Scotty was just saying, I can't help but think if you had your elite, if you had your best out there healthy, being able to run with those Ohio State wide receivers.
Oh, geez.
Could have given you a real chance in that.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.